Hi there. Welcome to the Biz Communication Show. I'm your host, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy. You and I are going to learn today from a tremendous expert in the area of communication. And whether you're viewing our interview on video or whether you're listening on podcast, I know that you will benefit, as I will, because I learn plenty every time that I have the opportunity to host Diana Boer. Diana Boer comes to us from the Greater Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, Colleyville, Texas. Now, you may not have met Diana Boer yet, but chances are you have one of her books on your shelf. I can tell you, I've got several of them. She's the best-selling author of 49 books. I've often told her she's written more books than some of us have read. 49 books published in 62 foreign language editions with nearly 4 million copies sold. Her books are published by Penguin Random House, Simon & Schuster, HarperCollins, and McGraw-Hill. Her latest titles include Faster, Fewer, Better Emails, Communicate Like a Leader, What More Can I Say? Why Communication Fails and What to Do About It, Creating Personal Presence. National media frequently feature her work on communication issues. Good Morning America, USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, Forbes, NPR, Bloomberg, Fast Company, just to name a few. Diana's clients include more than one-third of the Fortune 500, plus governmental agencies like the Navy, the Army, the IRS, and NASA. But, and I love this, Diana tells me there's one client where she's absolutely failed to improve communication, the U.S. Senate. How well I can agree. So let's welcome Diana Boer. Hello, Diana.
Hello. Great to be with you, Bill.
Yes, it's terrific to be with you. And several weeks ago, I noticed a post, and I read all your posts on LinkedIn, and I noticed one where you talked about civility, and you said, really, what the world needs in communication is both clarity and civility. Now, you and I are well aware, as are our viewers and listeners, that even, I guess, in the first grade, they start teaching us clarity, and that might have caught on to some degree, but civility seems to be missing. Tell me, please, first of all, what sparked your interest in this topic?
I think social media and politics, both of those. I can't do anything about politics. I'm not working with the candidates, but I think social media in all different topics, whether they're talking politics or religion or leadership or whatever, it just, people seem to be blunt, just very, very blunt, because they're not standing face to face. So they don't see that immediate horrified reaction. And that makes me think a lot more about why we've gotten to this point.
I think that you're right on target there. And one of the personal and professional restraints I have is just not to get into some of those issues, because there's very little in the way of tolerance. There's very little in the way of listening. There's very little in the way of hearing other people's opinions and respecting them. So social media, I can understand why that called it to your attention. Now, I noticed also that, of course, you wrote a book about email, as I mentioned in the introduction. What incivility do you see in our usage of email, and how would you improve that?
Well, the thing I noticed the most is people hitting reply all. You can understand why somebody would send out an email to a lot of people if you're trying to get their approval. For example, let's say a boss is sending out an email saying, I'm getting ready to send our quarterly report up to headquarters. Does anybody have seen a mistake in this? Or does anybody want to include anything else? So I could see why they have a big distribution list. But for everybody to go back and say, fine, looks fine, no, nothing to add, those are meaningless comments. And when you're sitting there with your inbox open and it's going ding, 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 and of course you can turn off the notifications, but still, that to me is not thinking of the other person and how you're disrupting their workday. Another one, Bill, that I think that's very common is calling somebody out without enough finesse, I guess is the way you might say it. But, you know, in other words, having a string, an email chain going back and forth on the same topic. And then all of a sudden, certain other people get copied in, their boss, this boss's boss, etc. And then you not very subtly correct someone. Well, when you stated such and such, actually, the real fact is, or actually the data it shows, and correcting people in front of others that where it might have ramifications for their career or their reputation. I don't think that's a good idea either. It's far better to just email them, separately.
As much as you have worked with executives, you've been teaching them for decades, if you're going to correct somebody or tell them that they're not doing something very well, you certainly have told them to do that in private. And it's even worse, as you say, with email, because then it's not an audience possibly of one or two or three people, but it's a larger audience. It's the whole team. And then the team might circulate that information right. or that reprimand to others in the organization.
Right. And the same thing happens just putting a confidential comment in there. You know, maybe you think you're just talking to two or three people at once, you know, talking directly to one person, you've copied a couple of people and you say, well, just between you and me, Frank really didn't know what he was doing when he did that survey. And then later the chain, other people get added to that chain and are copied. And they forget, the person who made that kind of comment forgets that personal dig is somewhere in there. And the person who gets that copy may go back and read the whole string. And so just passing on sharp remarks, corrections, any of that just has no place in a civil discussion.
And I think another point that you certainly wrote about in your book, and you and I have both worked with clients and trying to educate them about the best use of email. One important point is, and sometimes we forget this, but one very important point is that something that is said in writing, which might have potential negative ramifications, it's much stronger in writing than it is if you're just talking to somebody. For example, if I were talking to you, Diana, and just talking with you face to face, and I said something to the effect of, you know, here's a point I believe you can improve on. You're looking at me and I'm smiling and you're taking that in good faith. But if you just get a one sentence email that says that, it's much harsher, isn't it?
Yes, and people tend to stew over that and think, you know, what can I read? What do they really mean? And along that same line, Bill, is being brief. You know, some people pride themselves on being brief, but brevity can lead to bluntness. I just sent out an email to a group of 12 for a private little get-together that I was going to have. And most of them said, looking forward to it, see you then, got it on my calendar. But somebody said, I'll be there. And just because of that, no other extra comment, it got the point across, but it sounds blunt. So brevity is not always good, particularly if the message could be taken in a negative way.
Yes, maybe something to the effect, I'll be there. Thanks for the invitation. Looking yes. forward to it or something like that. And during my 20 years in management, there was one point I noticed, and that was before email, but we had other ways of sending messages. To me, civility could sometimes, even from an executive, could sometimes include the word please.
Yeah, there are a lot of pleasantries that should work their way into those executive emails because they sound, I mean, by the nature of their role, they're directive. They're giving people instructions. They're telling, yes, this is approved or no, it's not. But it's even more important to add those pleasantries. Please, thank you. I would appreciate it, etc. And some people just don't buy into that. They think, I'm the boss, I'll just say what I want and move on. But I think it's really important to get the person's buy-in and to build connection. And I think, you know, Bill, the reason people have a wrong tone in email a lot of times is they don't understand the difference between emphasis. When you're speaking, you know, I can hit a word, I can inflect, lower my voice, inflect a word for emphasis, but people don't know how to do that in writing. And that, what they're saying does not come across in the way they intended. And that makes a lot of emails sound angry or incivil.
Yes, and I can't recall the exact example. Maybe you can, but I remember seeing an illustration one time of something that was said in writing, and it let's say it was a 7-word sentence, and it showed the impact of emphasizing each different word if you said it 7 or so different times.
Yeah, I've got an example of that. You could say, Mark said that John was about ready to retire. Mark said that John was about ready to retire. Mark said that John was ready to retire. John said Mark was ready to retire. Yeah, I can change that over and over according to which word I inflect. And even listening to my voice on the end, I change it to a question from a sentence. So people got to think about that. You know, it's the placement of words and it's the punctuation you use that actually tells people your voice inflection. And if you've never thought about that, chances are they're not going to read with their eyes what you've thought you said in your mind.
I'm not surprised that you had an example ready.
Well, I probably could have thought a better one, but you know, I had that same thing happen to me with someone taking the tone not like I meant. I don't know if it was actually the way I said it or they were reading into it. But here's what I mean about choosing the exact precise word and thinking of different ways. I'd emailed my accountant on a Thursday or Friday and asked them to follow up with this big discussion with the IRS. And I didn't hear back from her on Monday. So I got a different fact that I wanted to put in. And I wrote this sentence. I wrote it down because I was going to give you an example. I said, since you haven't yet responded to my Friday email about the tax question, I'm sending along an additional fact that may help in your research on this issue. I didn't see anything wrong with that sentence, but her response to me was, I certainly hope I am misreading the tone of this document. I have had no time to answer email because you haven't responded since Friday, I'm doing such and such, when I just meant time. You know, since I didn't get back, it's not too late to send you this additional fact. So even when we are trying to be clear and we're trying to be civil, it takes thought into what you're doing. And many times we're just dashing off email with no thought.
That's an example that becomes so familiar to me because I had the same thing happen one time. I sent someone an email during my management days and I hadn't heard from them. And so I called them and left a voicemail. And I said, since you did not answer my email, and she wrote back and said, I always answer emails and I always answer phone calls. And as I remember, it was about a page and a half scathing response. So it goes back to the old bit one of the basics of communication. It's not just what you say, but how it's going to be interpreted.
Absolutely. And that's difficult to know, even when you know how to place words. In our English language, there are words that have different meanings. And I gave you that one since. It can mean time or it can mean because. That's a really troublesome one. And there are many other examples like that.
Yes. Diana, in a minute, after a brief business information note, you and I are going to talk about cell phone courtesy.
Do you wish you felt confident about giving speeches? Do you want to deal with difficult people constructively? And what about becoming more persuasive in sales? Then keep listening now to Dr. Bill Lampton. He spent 20 years in management, so he knows the communication skills you need for success. I urge you to call the Biz Communication Guy today for a no-cost, but very valuable 30-minute discussion about your communication challenges. Call now, 678-316-4300. Again, that's 678-316-4300.
Speaking of calling, let's get back to our discussion about cell phones. Oh, my. I know you've written a book about email. You could write volumes about cell phone misuse and incivility. What would be a couple of examples that come to mind right away?
Well, one is talking loudly on a private phone call when a lot of other people are around. It not only is a security issue, if you're giving out your phone number, or it's just they can't think, they can't focus on what they're doing because you're talking so loudly on your phone. I'll give you a great correction for that, that I found out a friend of mine told me she did. She was sitting at the airport in a lounge and some guy was, you know, trying to impress people, I guess, saying, this is so-and-so calling, leaving his name, kept leaving his phone number and said, call me back. I need to talk to you about X. And talking to his financial advisor and just kept on call after call after call. And finally, she had heard his number. She wrote it down and she texted him and says, the people around you seated at gate 31 wish you would shut up.
That's a fabulous response. That is a fabulous
message. She got the message.
Well, I remember, and you and I talked about this one time on LinkedIn. I remember a situation where my wife, Sandra, and I were in a small dining breakfast room at a motel, and one lady there, and it could have been a guy, so I'm not picking anybody. I just happened to be a lady. One lady there decided to let every one of us know how many cities she had her corporation in, and she called each one and let us all hear that. And I'll have to say that as my wife was leaving the breakfast area, she let the caller know that that we didn't need to know everything that she had been trying to flaunt in the way of her business. So certainly that's one bit is not just making, it's supposed to be a private phone call, right?
That's the term. That's the key word, operative word there, private. You know, another thing that bothers me too about calls is that stopping a face-to-face conversation to take a call. Now, if it's an emergency situation, somebody, you're expecting somebody to call because you have a sick child at school and you need to pick them up. You see the school's calling. That's different. But just normally, you know, you're talking, even I've had this happen in a sales situation. You're talking to the seller, you're the buyer, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, I need to get back to this customer. Can you wait a minute? And I'm thinking, I'm the customer right in front of you. What do you mean? So I think interruptions like that is not good. Leaving your notifications on in a meeting so that beep, beep, beep all through the meeting instead of turning it off. All of those are just not good interpersonal skills, much less being what I call incivil.
It's similar to me, Diana, to a networking opportunity when you're talking with somebody and you realize that they're looking over their shoulder, trying to find somebody more important to talk with.
I can't imagine that would ever happen to you, Bill, but it has happened to me.
That happens to all of us, Diana, very much so. One time for one more comment, and I've seen you write about this on LinkedIn and in your articles and in your books. I remember one time you were talking about how many calls you had to make to a customer service rep and how then you were transferred to another one and so on. Give us two or three tips for people who are customer service reps. When they get calls, how can they be more civil than maybe we've been experiencing?
Well, it depends on which of these you would think about being uncivil or not, but mumbling. You'll see a lot of people on the other end, particularly when you call help desk or support for something that you're buying online, and they're going, oh, what's that? You know, and you think you can just visualize them looking down, looking through a manual, talking to themselves. And sometimes I've even had to say, are you talking to me? Are you talking to somebody else? But that's a real irritant. And putting somebody on hold without telling them approximately how long it's going to be and what you're doing. I mean, people just, they just, it's like they disappear and there's quiet and you think, are you there? And occasionally, you know, they will speak up and say, yes, I'm still here. And I'm thinking, you should have told me that you were there. If you're going to do something, just say, can you hold on for about a minute? I'm going to call somebody on the back line and then back office and ask so-and-so. Then you have an idea. Oh, I could read another email or I could do something. They're not just going to be back to me in 10 seconds. And then don't keep them on hold that long. Generally, when we've taught customer service communications for organizations, we tell their people should not be on hold more than 20 seconds.
So, oh, that's great.
And if people think that's too short, you can't get anything done, they should set the clock. And actually, we have them do it. Get out your timer on your phone and run it for 20 seconds and see how long that is just sitting there waiting. It's a long time. And you need to let people know if it's going to be longer than that.
Very good point.
I'm not finished.
I've sometimes said that I've whimsically said that on my tombstone, I'd like to have inscribed, I'm still on hold.
Oh, can I ever identify with that? And then to make it worse, the recording comes on and says, we're helping other customers. We value your
opinion. We value. Oh, yes.
And everything about the call says we don't value you. The way they talk, the way they put you on hold, making you hold for 45 minutes, and then getting a voice greeting after you finally get put through to the right person. All of that just says the opposite. You are not important to us.
And then, of course, on that line, and then we're going to have to pull our conversation to a close. But along that line is we call, they answer. Do you mind if we put you on hold? And before we can answer, wham,
yes.
We're on hold. So it's not even an exchange there. It's not really a question. So there's a lot of thank you so much, Diana, for giving us a lesson on civility. And it can be improved in every atmosphere of business that we've talked about, and then some others. So you will have to come back another time and we can talk about some other aspects of civility in communication. This has been a very civil conversation.
It has. It's a good thing we agree.
Very much so. Diana, I know that there are many who have listened and viewed who want to know about how to get in touch with you. And I will say to our viewers and listeners, Diana Boer, with her truly world acclaim and her worldwide recognition and the professional respect that she has from so many, is a wonderfully approachable person. So, Diana, tell us your contact information, please, that you'd like to share.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's Boer, like my last name. You know, I always spell it B-O-O-H-E-R. It's like boo her, except I hope they don't. BoerResearch.com.
Thank you, Diana.
Sure.
And now that Diana has given her contact information, I'm delighted to give mine, Bill Lampton, the Biz Communication Guy. So logically, my website is bizcommunicationguy.com. And I also invite you to go to YouTube and check into my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel is Bill Lampton, PhD. In the search bar, put Bill Lampton, PhD. It'll take you to my YouTube channel. You'll find this interview and many more, and also some one-on-one instruction that I've given on all types of topics of communication. And then naturally, I, like Diana, want people to get in touch. So my cell phone number is 678-316-4300. Again, 678-316-4300. Diana, any closing remark for those who have joined us on the Biz Communication Show?
Just to be confident in your communication and clear and compelling.
That's a big order right there. And I certainly encourage anybody who is not familiar with Diana Boer's books, get them. I've got practically a shelf full of them. I've told her to quit writing. I can't keep up with them. I can't read as fast as she writes. She does a great job. So thanks to all of you for being with us. Be with us again on the next edition of the Biz Communication Show.